When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can give us a call on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. We've been asking today, best team in the NFL right now, Bills or Eagles, but we've also been dealing a lot with the fallout from Kyrie Irving's social media post, where he amplified a documentary based on a book with, that among other things, quotes the Elders of Zion, anti-Jewish propaganda, and also a fake quote from Hitler that's supposed to show some wisdom about Jewish people. People were obviously upset at Kyrie, and Kyrie has been suspended 5 games without pay. The Brooklyn Nets suspended him for at least 5 games without pay, at least 5 games. Thursday, it's yesterday, dismayed by his repeated failure to, quote, unequivocally say he has no anti-Semitic beliefs. Kyrie later issued an apology for a social media post last week about a book and movie that feature those anti-Semitic tropes. Kyrie refused to apologize during a post-practice media session earlier Thursday. The Nets subsequently said Kyrie is, quote, unfit to be associated with the Brooklyn Nets, end quote. In an Instagram post after the suspension, Kyrie wrote in part, quote, to all Jewish families and communities that are hurt and affected by my post, I am deeply sorry to have caused you pain, and I apologize. Okay? By the way, I'm Jewish. Apology accepted. I'm ready to turn the page. Not everybody is. And the suspension at this moment stands, at least 5 games. Stephen A. Smith from First Take, of course, joins us now. Stephen A., good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, good. What was your reaction when you heard Kyrie been suspended?
Sad. It's about time. It definitely was necessary. It definitely was warranted because he had not just one chance, but two chances in front of the cameras and the microphones to clarify his position and to show contrition of obviously something that one would deem, most of us would deem, pretty heinous. To put something on Twitter where you come across as promoting or supporting this belief that the Holocaust did not exist, that it was a fabrication, is incredibly incendiary and insulting to the Jewish community. And, you know, this society has no place for that. We all know it. We all know that is simply something that you do not do. And he did that and then would not own it, would not stand before the cameras and the microphones and acknowledge that he was wrong, that he was ill-informed, and more importantly, that he owed the Jewish community an apology for that. It was only after he was suspended that statement came last night. It was clearly assisted. He clearly did not do it on his own because it appears to be an extreme struggle for him to simply apologize. And so because of that, I think it left the Nets organization much choice. Clearly, they were feeling some heat from Commissioner Adam Silver. There's no doubt about that. But in the same breath, Joe Tsai had given him ample opportunities to address this matter in an acceptable fashion, and his flat-out refusal to do so left Joe Tsai no choice. And I don't think this will be just 5 games. As a matter of fact, I'll be shocked if it is just 5 games.
By the way, the Holocaust denial would come as a great surprise. My youngest daughter Mira is named after my great grandmother Miriam, and it would come as a great shock to Miriam to hear about the denial because she was shot by the Nazis in the Espateria ditch, one of the 6 million who were killed, right? So, yes, it is extremely offensive, you know, and on the other hand, I don't think it was his intention. I think he was looking to amplify a black empowerment, but the collateral damage was, horrible anti-Jewish and false propaganda. and then did not apologize when he had the chance. Stephen A. Smith from First Take joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Go ahead, Key.
No, I was going to ask you, Stephen A., why do you think Kyrie has handled the situation the way that he has?
Wow. That's, you know, that's just me going off of what I know about the guy. I just think that Kyrie is a guy that is clearly inquisitive. He's in search of knowledge. I don't believe that he's an evil person that means to hurt anybody. I think the problem is that he thinks and he considers himself to be enlightened. And I think that's where you've heard me utter the words snobbish in the past, where he believes that he's on a certain level and most of us are beneath him. And the level of intellect that he possesses is what most of us are lacking. And because of that, when he spews whatever it is that he spews, there is literally an innate part of him that has the mentality, who are you to question me? And because that's his mentality, when confronted by people who do probe and who do ask questions and do so in a pressing, dare I say, confrontational matters, it's off-putting to him. It's incredibly offensive to him. And that's what forces him to double down, because the last thing he's going to do is to concede anything to people he views as not on his level. And when you combine that with the fact that he is a professional athlete, a sensational one at that, who makes an inordinate amount of money compared to the average everyday person in our society and throughout the world, that buffers that level of thinking that he has. And that you get that, Keyshawn, when you hear him utter words like, you know, I'm trying to educate folks. I'm trying to be a beacon of light. Well, before it was with the vaccine. Prior to that, it was with, you know, the bubble, and it was with social justice issues. And now it's with this. Somehow, some way, he believes the level of intellect that he possesses far exceeds that of many, many other people. And that leads him to taking the positions that he takes. And again, he's not thinking that he's being insensitive, and he's not intentionally trying to harm or to hurt anybody. He just believes that his knowledge far exceeds everybody else, which is what makes it very, very difficult for you to tell him anything, which is in all likelihood why he finds himself in this position this morning.
Stephen A., what does this mean for Kevin Durant?
Well, it means that Kevin Durant is going to be on the Brooklyn Nets devoid of a superstar teammate. And that they're going to have to win by committee instead of playing 2-on-5 basketball. For all intents and purposes, who knows, that might end up being the best thing that could have happened to Kevin Durant. But I do believe that this is an indictment against him to some degree in this regard. The fact of the matter is he's been conspicuously quiet in this whole ordeal. He's had nothing to say. And it's just a reminder that what Kevin Durant wants to do is play basketball or go home. He doesn't want all of this other stuff, which I can't blame him for. The problem is that Kevin Durant is of the mindset that he is a basketball player who can really, really ball, that is playing on this team. He's not the leader or the franchise player we all expect him to be because of his ability to play the game of basketball and his commitment to doing it on an excellent level. He doesn't want the other responsibilities that come along with it. That gave Kyrie the baton to be that kind of person, which is what Kyrie wanted to do all along. And as a result, he finds himself in the situation where he signs a 4-year, $198 million extension that was scheduled to kick in this season. And before a day of it was honored, he's asking out. He wants out. Joe signed the Nets wouldn't grant him that because they know there was no way in hell they was going to get equitable compensation for Kevin Durant. So they kept him on board. Obviously, Kyrie was there. And as a result, you find yourself in this situation. Kevin Durant has nothing to do with what Kyrie elected to do on a personal level. But, you know, from an ancillary perspective, the bottom line is that this is your guy. The Brooklyn Nets, as you know this, Jay, the Brooklyn Nets would have never had Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn if Kevin Durant didn't want him. They brought Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets because Kevin Durant wanted Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. And Kyrie Irving has gotten away with everything since he's arrived there because he's had the backing of Kevin Durant to some degree. That's the reality of the situation, and that's where Kevin Durant's hands are dirty in this.
Stephen A. Smith, All Everything at ESPN, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Stephen A., you obviously have your ears to the ground in NBA and other sports as well, but in particular because this is an NBA matter. And you just mentioned Kevin Durant wanted Kyrie in Brooklyn to play alongside of him. Could LeBron James want Kyrie Irving in Los Angeles right about now? Could that be something that removes him from Brooklyn? Could the Lakers take that on?
I can tell you that LeBron James will want it. The reason why LeBron James will want it is because at the end, when the dust settles, he'd want that brother on the basketball court with him compared to what he's got on the basketball court with him right now. That's just a fact. But the reality is, if you're the Lakers organization, and if you're LeBron James, the businessman, not the basketball player, and the Jewish community, and Max would be more equipped to answer that than me, but the Jewish community itself is standing up and saying, this is not somebody we believe should be a part of any organization. That would be a tough pill for the Los Angeles Lakers to follow, for any organization to follow at this particular moment in time. Now, obviously, we live in a day and time where things subside, and ultimately you are what you are, and you might have this stain on your resume, this stain on your name, even on your career, but in the end, you ball out and you go out there and you play and people feel the way that they feel about you, but in the same breath, okay, just shut the hell up and go play. And they can tolerate that. And eventually, they will definitely get to that point with Kyrie Irving, I believe. But the bottom line is that that's a tough pill for an organization to deal with at this particular moment in time. But to answer your question directly, could LeBron James stomach that and deal with that? If Kyrie Irving could be on the basketball court to play with him, he might not admit it. But the answer would be hell yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, right now, from the point of view of acquiring basketball goods, right, Kyrie is a distressed commodity. So you would get him on the cheap in terms of what you have to give up to get him. And I can tell you as a Jewish person, that, and a Lakers fan, by the way, that, yeah, as of course, you know, he's apologized. And the kind of people that you got to worry about are the people who are, you know, hanging swastikas off of the bridge in L.A., not Kyrie Irving. You know, as a Jewish, but I'm not worried about Kyrie Irving.
Correct.
So he apologized, and the Lakers could go get him? Yeah, you know what the Jewish fans are in L.A.? They're basketball fans. They're Lakers fans. They want their team to win. And so I think that's something that's not, you know, beyond the realm of possibility, even though, obviously, Los Angeles has a big Jewish population.
Well, let me throw this at y'all. I don't think this will happen, but let's entertain this possibility. There is the possibility that Joe Tsai and the Nets could be so fed up, particularly with the strong Jewish population in Brooklyn, that they just say, Kyrie, stay home. They don't move him. They don't trade him. They just say, we're done. But we're not about to do you any favors by sending you someplace that you could end up winning at. I don't think that would happen. I think there's a very long shot that it would happen. But never rule out those kind of possibilities when you talk about organizations and a league that's hell-bent on sending a message so certain behavior ain't replicated.
How much of this
you can't rule anything out.
How much of this is Kyrie, you know, I was talking about it earlier, Stephen A. There's like a conflation on the one hand. Well, he said, you know, he amplified this very bad thing. That's not really why he didn't apologize right away, right? It's because he was being told to, and he doesn't like to be told what to do. And so it took a little while, but then he issued the statement.
Right.
How much of that is really Kyrie just getting caught up in his own stubbornness, not liking, you know, Steve, sometimes I'm the coach, sometimes Steve Nash is the coach. He doesn't like to be told what to do.
I think that has everything to do with it. But you also have to take into account some of the things that he said. He talked about our history, and there is a history there. Let's give this man credit from this perspective. There is a history of indentured servitude. There is a history of slavery. There is a history of Jim Crow laws. There is a history of an abundance of things that have had a profoundly detrimental effect on the black community in the United States of America. So when he talked about folks keeping that same energy, there isn't a black person alive that did not hear, nor relate to, nor comprehend where Kyrie Irving was coming from. So in that regard, that's absolutely correct. And one could easily argue that that may have contributed to his defiance. The whole point is, fair enough, but in the end, the Jewish community has been a disenfranchised community in and of itself. They have been victimized in and of themselves. We all know this. As you stated, Max, you are a Jewish individual. You know your history a hell of a lot better than I do about the Jewish community, so you can speak to that. And the reality is that when you put something on Twitter that basically indicates that their history is false, but then you claim you meant no harm or anything like that, you have to elaborate extensively, especially when you pride yourself on being an intellectual that far exceeds the intelligence of normal men. When you have that kind of attitude and that kind of arrogance, dare I say, the fact of the matter is people are going to call you on the carpet to explain yourself. And when you get your back up and you're defiant because you don't want to, quote unquote, bow down to the mob coming in your direction, you know, insisting and demanding an apology, well, it's misplaced, because the mob, as you would say, is the media, the messenger, asking you a question. But the commissioner of the league that you play in is Jewish. You know, you have people in the community in Brooklyn who are Jewish. You have people sitting courtside, you know, against, speaking out against anti-Semitism, clearly there just to make a point against you. Making that point, they're in your face. So you have now made it uncomfortable. You've compromised potentially the bottom line of the National Basketball Association, and nobody's guilty of doing that than you. You were supposed to be playing basketball. What you did was you took it upon yourself to take this action, and then when held accountable for it, you did not want to show any level of contrition whatsoever. So those are the kind of things that are being held against him at this particular moment in time. He had Saturday night to apologize. He had Monday to apologize. He refrained from doing so. He was given that opportunity, not just on one, but two occasions by the Brooklyn Nets, and he passed. And so when he passed, he really incriminated himself even more, because once you issued the apology after the suspension, it showed that this is something that you could have done Saturday or Monday but had refused to do, and only when you suffered consequences were you willing to take the position of trying to give an apology. And even in giving that apology, you still weren't specific enough in you denying or you apologizing for indicating that the Holocaust never existed. So you have people that are looking at him that way and saying, what the hell is wrong with this guy? He just doesn't get it.
It's always something with Kyrie, it seems. That's Stephen A. Smith, ladies and gentlemen. First Take coming up in 42 minutes. Thanks, Stephen A.
All right.
So, guys, something Stephen A. said toward the end there is interesting to me, because he was focusing on the fact that the commissioner of the league is Jewish, and mm-hmm. and there are, you know, big Jewish population in Brooklyn where the Nets play, etc. But as a Jewish man, the lessons that you learn from your culture, and Key and I have talked about this. Key apologized for Kanye. Key, you don't have to do that, but felt embarrassed by a member of a group with whom you associate yourself, right, with behaving in a way that you feel embarrasses you because you don't think it's a good representation of you, right? Well, because there are, it's a culture I come from. I don't care if Kyrie was talking about someone who's Jewish or black or Asian or gay or any kind of group that would be, that if he amplified a message that lied about and demonized that group, I'd have the exact same position. And my hope would be, Key, that a lot of the Jewish people who are offended, and I know many of them would also have the same position, you know, whether or not it was specifically about Jewish people.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but because, you know, I kind of get what you're saying, Max, but at the same time, I look at it and I say, you know, he apologized a million different times. So I kind of don't really know when somebody apologizes and they, you know, like, does saying sorry, does that really mean he apologized? Does he have real feelings? Like, what is it that will make him, does he feel forced to have to say sorry?
Seems that way, right?
It's just, can I just tell you, man, it's everything deserves to be called out, right? So anti-Semitism is not okay.
No.
You know, also, the genocide that's happening in China with Uyghurs is not okay. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world that I don't hear people speak out about. You know, there's certain things that get inflamed. And when something affects the bottom line, that's when it's time to speak out on it. Because, oh, it's affecting my bottom line. It's affecting business, which I get. But I just want to make sure that we keep the energy for all things that are not happening correctly, because it feels like at times we pick and choose things that are just there.
That's why when Daryl Morey made the comment he did on Twitter and people were getting on Morey at the time, I'm like, oh, hold on a second.
Come on,
what
man.
What Morey is saying is right. It doesn't matter what
I don't
your
hear Joe
Sy
talk
star.
About that at all. And once two different things, but it's like, oh, pick and choose our spots. That's all I'm saying, man. It just it has this element of being hypocritical that it really bothers me internally.
Well, I think a lot
you
of it
should maintain
though, Jay,
a righteous
too.
Position.
Exactly, man.
A lot of it too, Jay, is you also got to remember who the person is. It's Kyrie Irving. And because of that, it's going to inflame it even more than what normally somebody would say something. You know, it's Kanye West. That's just it's just what happens in a situation because there's a history there of certain behavior that make a person go, well, wait a minute, he's doing this again. He's doing something.
No, I get it, Key. I get that, but that's why I always go back to the macro about the platform. Let's just be real about it, because we always have real conversations. You know, when there are meteorite deals being put in place, that a lot of revenue at stake, you know, people aren't going to be willing to step up and speak about a lot of things because it can affect the bottom line. That's what I'm just bringing.
That goes for Kyrie
point.
Too, by the way. Why do you know the apology didn't come till after he's losing five game checks, right?
I hear you.
But people have. By the people
well,
have.
See, but see, Max, you say the apology. That's why I'm taken back because I'm like the dude apologized. Like
it
I mean,
was an apology, but you know what? It wasn't the way people wanted it to sound.
He wasn't going to give in other words, until it affected his bottom line.
Some people's words are just different.
I largely agree with you. I largely agree with you.
No,
I was ready
saying,
to turn
like,
the page
right?
yesterday.
I mean, it's like some people's words are just different. That's all. That's the only thing I'll be tripping off of is stuff like that.
But it does feel to me like the words were a little extra different because he didn't want to be told what to do. You know what I mean? And then...
And Max, that could be true. Do you ever want to be told what to do?
No. I'm not saying it's not a very human reaction, and for some people more than others, in fact. And in fact, I'm one of those people, so I get it.
And
right? Like, who wants to be told what to do?
And especially if you have his mind, his thought process, right? He's into something. He's into a whole nother world of thoughts.
Yeah.
And he don't want to be told what to do by nobody.
Let me tell everyone what to do is a pretty good rule of thumb. If you see a quote from Hitler or the Grand Wizard of the KKK or something like that, you know, maybe don't amplify that in a way that's supposed to be positive. That's telling you what to do is probably a good rule of thumb. All right. This conversation, I'm sure, is going to be going out, and conversations like it across ESPN platforms today, and it will be touched on This Just In 2 p.m.
This Just In at 2 p.m. Hanson Post.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, should the Giants do everything they can to keep Saquon Barkley?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way,
I don't want to be a player.
You can follow us on the ESPN app. You can listen to us live on the app. Everyone got a phone, even Key's sister. Everyone got a phone nowadays, right?
She's listening. Max, you better be careful.
Wait, what's your sister's name, Key? Oh, no, you can't say it out loud. No, pardon me. All right, Key sister, you know who you are.
Real quick.
So listen, I'm talking to you right now, Key sister.
Real quick.
You don't need to be in the car or in the shower to hear your brother on the radio. All you have to do is with this phone. Is it a smartphone, Key? Does she have a smartphone or an old school phone?
Absolutely. Man, she ain't got what you doing. She messing around.
Sometimes older people who get the phone for the first time, they got the big buttons and stuff, right? Because by that time, they're nearsighted and stuff.
A couple years ago, Jerry Jones was working with a flip phone.
Yeah, right, exactly. But if you have a smartphone, Key's sister, go to the ESPN app, click on the lower right-hand corner of the app, scroll down to live radio. You can hear your baby brother on the radio or wherever you are on your phone. All right. Sean Alexander, former Seattle Seahawks running back and NFL MVP, is with us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys, I actually love y'all's show. I've got so many friends. It'd be like, man, you know, Keyshawn, J. Will, man. You guys are doing a great job, y'all, man. So y'all keep it up.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, Sean, man.
So Sean's going to be attending the Alabama LSU game this weekend, the 26th anniversary of his 96 freshman year, where he ran for a tidy 291 yards and four TDs against LSU. What was that, in the season or for a game? What? We're going to ask him more about that in a few minutes. 291 with four TDs. Sean, how surprised were you by the Seahawks? You know, the fact that they're leading the NFC West.
I am so proud of Geno Smith. I think Kenneth Walker is playing great, man. It is surprising, but like that's the culture that we tried to create when I was there. You know, we got there and they had three times they'd ever been to playoffs, and we wanted to shift their culture and make them winning, and four division championships, five playoffs in a row. And then, you know, we all leave, and then comes in Marshawn and Russ and Pete, and they carry on the tour. So it's the culture that we're just proud that we got to be a part of creating. But I did not see it coming, so I'm pretty hyped.
Sean, I want to ask you about Russell Wilson. Obviously, there's been struggles out for him in Denver. First off, like, what do you make of everything? Let's ride, and I'm just asking.
Isn't that the coolest?
I'm asking.
Hey, Sean, isn't that the coolest? Isn't that the coolest?
Sean rocks with their soul. I got to ask it. You know what I mean? The way we would ask it. And then ultimately, like, where do you think he can go? Is Nathaniel Hackett the right guy for the job?
Jay thinks it's just the coolest, right, Jay? Let's ride.
Russ is like family to me, so I love him. And so I think that he's trying to do stuff to kind of create a good culture and kind of get everybody going in the right direction. That wasn't the move, you know? You know, so
too late now.
Well, what do you think?
And so what's going on is new coach, new system, and the things that Russ used to do in the Seahawk locker room, they kind of let everybody be themselves because everybody was just going to go perform. And so they're still trying to figure that out in Denver. And so you didn't have to tell Marshawn to go get it. You didn't have to go tell the Legion of Boom to go get it. They was going to go get it. And so Russ is trying to figure out how to be himself and still lead as a quarterback with this new group of team. And so it kind of looks messy. And that's what it looks like right now.
Yeah. Sean, you know, let's get back to Seattle a little bit. When you talk about the Seahawks and you look at what you were there with Coach Holmgren and everything, you guys certainly, like you said, had it rolling. And then Pete comes and they get it rolling again. And then they shift to this Russell Wilson, no more Marshawn Lynch. We're going to, for about 4 years, we're going to try to let Russell Wilson throw the football all over the lot to win a championship. That didn't work. And ultimately, Russell Wilson felt a certain way. He wanted to leave. Pete said, bye, see you later. Everybody went crazy because no quarterback was there except Geno Smith. In the springtime when this happened, I tried to tell Max Kellerman on my show that it's going to be the same thing with Geno Smith.
Couldn't believe it.
That it was with Russell Wilson early on with Pete Carroll. Run the football, play defense, quarterback don't make any mistakes. Are you seeing some of the same things from the early years of Pete Carroll now with the Seahawks?
Well, John has done an incredible job with Pete of just drafting the right guys. I mean, you know, when they got Russell, they also got Bobby Wagner, and they created the Legion of Boom. And here you're seeing it again. A couple of real strong linebackers. Some DBs are going to get in the ball. I mean, you're seeing the same thing happen again. And Geno and Russ are a little bit different. Russ gets out of the pocket to make plays, where Geno is really just hitting the right guys. And so they're a little bit different, but overall, it's the same formula. And I think, you know, I always like defense to run the ball, you know, and they've got that. Kenneth is a great, great running back. And so if he stays healthy, they got a shot to beat anybody.
Let's talk about a great, great running back. Sean Alexander, former Seattle Seahawks running back and NFL MVP with Keyshawn J. Willimax right now. Sean, what do you remember about that 291-yard, four-touchdown game in 96? Man, if I were you, and no one would be able to even look at me again, let alone talk to me. As soon as someone tried to talk, they'll talk to me, man. I rushed for 291 with four TDs. What more can you tell us about the – what do you remember about that? What can you tell us about the Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year Award?
You know, we had the iconic Gene Stallings as the head coach, and so he was just such a disciplinarian guy. And what was funny was that night before, Montoya Madden, who was the sophomore four-string running back, I was a third-string running back, we were playing video games that night because we knew we weren't going to get in the game. And we probably stayed up to about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we get the game going on, and it's about the second quarter. And they're like, yeah, Alexander. So I go out there. From one carry, 17 yards, that we get in halftime, we're up 7-0. And I'm telling Montoya, bro, I used to get hot like this in high school, man, nights like this. And I'm over just talking mess. And they're like, yeah, Alexander, you're going to go back in the game. And Dennis got hurt, Curtis got hurt. And the next carry is a 72-yard touchdown. So I got two carries, 80-something yards rushing, you know, and here we go. So it was one of those things, like, we didn't see that night happening like that. But it did. It was wonderful.
291 with four TDs. Sean Alexander.
He carried that to the league, though. Same sort of thing.
It was light work.
They don't hand out NFL MVPs just for nothing.
It's light work.
No, what did you score? Was it 30? What did you have in a year rushing TDs? Was it like 32 or something?
27.
I knew it was something crazy.
27 touchdowns. Yeah.
You know, we were talking with Big Ball, and I came out of seven games that year. I had 28 touchdowns, and literally it didn't play in seven fourth quarters.
How about it was if it was a seven, wow, even man. With that, in a 17 game schedule, you get your 30. You get your 30 in 17 games. Sean Alexander. All right, quickly, Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year Award before you get out of here. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. So I got asked by the Writers Association to be a part of. Mike Griffin, one of the writers, he's with Georgia now. He was a Bama beat writer when I was a freshman. And he asked me to come help about 5-6 years ago picking the freshman All-American team. And then the next year, they're like, yeah, we're going to name it after a person. And they're like, yeah, we think it should be you. And humbled, honored, you know what I mean? And we kind of rallied around four criteria. Talent, I mean, it has to just jump off the screen, that they would have, we call them legends, you know, anybody that played, they look like an NFL talent, that they would have great character and be an ambassador to the university. And Trevor Lawrence was our first one 5 years ago. Kenneth Gainesville was with the Eagles now, had a great night last night. He won this next year. Will Anderson won it 2 years ago. Brock Bowers last year out of Georgia's tight end, and now this year we just announced the Fab 14. That's the 14th semifinalist. Super pumped! It's a great honor to have the freshman player of the year named after me, and it's been really cool to watch the selection go through and us pick this next great. We call him the Prince of College Football, the next great star. So it's pretty cool.
Sean Alexander, former Seattle Seahawks running back and NFL MVP. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate hearing from you this morning.
All right, to your squad, Sean.
Hey, no doubt, guys.
All right.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide with all that money.
Yeah, somehow they'll still be there, right? Somehow when the playoff rules around, right, Key?
You think so?
Absolutely.
It's Nick Saban. It's Alabama.
You heard what Max just said. It's Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Certain people you don't mess with.
Don't mess with them.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
So look at this here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Look at this. ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge. Remember when we were dragging the line?
Yeah. I mean, we're in fourth place now? We're tied for second with
Greeny.
Oh, don't let us start winning this. I'm talking trash to everybody at Espen.
So Freddie and Fitzsimmons are 14-9-1. Greenies at 13-10-1. Spain and Fitz, 13-10-1. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, 13-10-1. First of all, from now on, Pat, put us, if it's all tied, put us on the top. So it's the first one. It sounds better.
Yeah.
So let me do that again. Freddie and Fitzsimmons are in first place, 14-9-1. Then Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max at 13-10-1.
Yeah, why would he put a this?
Yeah. See that?
Self-sabotaging.
You see what I'm saying with him, though? He's like, he that dude that worked with us, but he wants us to fail so bad.
Well, he's from Philly, man. You got to get, this is to be expected.
I've never wanted anything more than to sabotage you all because of how much hate you guys have for Philly.
Greeny and Spain and Fitz at 13-10-1, right under KJM at 13-10-1. Then Barton Hahn at 11-12-1, and Canty and Carlin 10-13-1. Guys, if we have a good week, we're going to move into first place.
No, don't start thinking about being undefeated. Just focus on one game at a time.
I'm undefeated. That's what I'm saying. This game right here.
All right.
Week 9 games, guys. Dolphins -5 at the Bears in Chicago. What do we think here?
Yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins on this one, man. -5.5 in Chicago. You don't really know what the weather's going to be, and I understand that Fields played well against the Cowboys, but the Dolphins, they got something going, cooking right now. They just picked up Chubb. We know what that defense is about. Those two receivers, they got a nice running game. Yeah, I said it. I'm taking the Dolphins.
See, just hearing him talk positively about the Dolphins is making me very concerned.
Nervous, huh?
I don't know if I like it.
What do you mean? I've been talking positive about it.
Not really. But now you're really doing the extra Keyshawn lean into it kind of thing, and that makes me...
Know what, though, Jay? Think about it. The Bears were hanging tough with teams and not really getting blown out until they faced the Cowboys, a really good team. They got beat up, and that's also a warm weather team, right? The Dolphins, now that they just acquired Bradley Chubb on top of what they already had, I think they're one of those teams. I think they're going to cover the 5.
All right, so I'm taking out of it. All right, take me out. That's cool. Take me out of it. Y'all got the Dolphins. Y'all outrule me.
What?
outnumber me.
So you really you think the Bears are going to beat the spread?
Maybe so. I'm like a little bit concerned about this.
I understand your concern, but
they're going to turn on you, Jay. I'm telling you.
All right, look.
No, they're not. When I've been riding with them from day one.
They're going to come.
No, they ain't never rocking with you. You were in that division. They ain't never rocking with you.
The Bills are 11.5-point favorites at the Jets. Do the Jets cover this, Key?
Now, Key nervous.
Jets beat this spread? What do you think?
No, I'm taking the Bills, and I'm taking that 11.5, minus 11.5. The Jets are, look, man, Zach Wilson didn't play well last week. Okay, no Breece Hall. The secondary doesn't really concern me against the Jets because of the quarterback that the Jets have.
It's due for a good game.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
11.5 is a lot of points, man.
It's
a lot of points last week.
It's not college, Key. It's the NFL. 11.5 points.
They got me last week.
In Buffalo, unleashes on people. And right now, they got to start hitting their stride. They got to stop. They can't play around. You know, Nyheim Hines is over there now. I mean, I'm just telling you. Von Miller coming across that edge.
Buffalo owes me from last week. I'll take Buffalo to cover.
You think a touchdown and a couple of field goals? And
Two touchdowns?
All right. You guys are both taking Buffalo to cover. I'd have taken the Jets to beat, but doesn't matter because I'm outvoted 2-1. Rams at Bucks. The Bucks are three-point favorites at home.
Oh, what a horrible game.
What do you think, Key?
I'm taking the Bucks. I'm taking the Bucks in this situation. And the reason I'm taking them is because I think the Tom Brady, you know, all the stuff you and Jake talked about for about a month, his personal life that I wouldn't dive into, I could dive into it now. That's over with. Everybody knows he gets relaxed. You're divorced. You got to take care of your kids. You're doing a great thing, right, Brady. He gained a little weight, according to Max. He doesn't look as skeleton.
No, he looks
anymore.
As skinny as that. Yeah, his face
see
looks,
the last one that came out?
His face little... looks gaunt and sucked in. But I have to.
Sucked in.
It does.
I'm taking the Bucks,
face,
man.
Fishy face.
The Rams, they got some banged up players. Cooper Kupp.
The dude's going through a hard thing. It's a real thing, guys.
Yes, it's a real thing. We know. Max, I done been through it. Hell, I know.
In front of him, I'm serious, man. I've been through it, too.
It's like that. Why did
that's what it looked like at the press conference, man. He looks gaunt. But I agree with Key. Now that it's in the rearview mirror a little bit more, he's had time to acclimate himself. Maybe I'm hoping, but I think Brady wins this game. I think the Bucks win.
Yeah, the Bucks win.
What do you think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. You guys got me.
All right, so we have Dolphins covering, Bills covering, and the Rams beating the spread.
We are children.
Oh, sorry. The Bucks win. Do they cover the 3 points?
That's what we just talked about. We said they cover. That's the whole point of doing this.
We said win.
That's the whole point of doing this.
Bills,
talking about spreads,
Max.
And
we're taking the Bucks, man.
Damn, Max.
You need to get that prisoner. Damn, Max. You need to get that prisoner in you right now.
Stupid Max.
You got Max unboxing today?
No,
yeah, I got Max unboxing today.
You got a lot of shows.
Max, you got enough money. Go get you some Screaming Eagle.
No. Key already talked about Screaming Eagle.
Screaming Eagle.
It'd be Screaming Max when I get the bill for that thing. Screaming Eagle. I looked it up. It's like 10 G's.
How much is it for Screaming Eagle? How much is it?
Thousands of dollars.
You can get them in the mid-hundreds all the way up to whatever you could afford, Jay.
No, I'm trying to get a cost-efficient joint.
Greeny is coming up right after this program, and we are back at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Greeny's in fourth place.
On Monday morning.
He's in fourth place.
Here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, have a great weekend. Proof!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.